Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Psalm 55, verse 19, we read a verse that has a word in it, and the word is changes. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. Today, we want to talk about some changes. And it's important for us to know that there are certain things in life that are going to change, and they need to change. And there are other things that aren't going to change. For instance, the Bible says of the Lord that he changes not. Hebrews says of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So the Lord doesn't change. Solomon tells us that we are not to meddle with them who are given to change. You know how the world is. The world is very given to change. There's new and improved products, and there's change in government, and there's all laws change, and morality changes, and standards change, and all that kind of stuff. And so the Lord says to us in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Now, Psalms describes a man who is able to approach unto the Lord, who is able to abide in the Lord's tabernacle, who is able to dwell in his holy hill, Psalm 15. And in verse 4, he says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt, watch it, and changeth not. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. So the Lord doesn't change. We're not to meddle with them who are given to change. And here's a man who swears to his own hurt and changes not. However, when you consider what happens to us in salvation, there are some things that are going to change. You're going to see, for instance, from Psalm 55, verse 19, you're going to see life changes. You're going to see life changes. I mean, in your life, there are going to be circumstances, there are going to be events and reversals that are going to work against you, and they're going to cost you. I mean, just when you think your life is going to work out well, you suddenly experience one of these reversals, one of these changes. And these reversals, these changes, these contrasts to the blessings of the Lord are not designed to upset you. They're designed to get you to fear God, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Many men turn to God from sin and from wickedness in their lives when something goes wrong. Now, in the context of Psalm 55, David has been praying because he's got enemies that have turned on him. One was with him, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company, David says in Psalm 55, verses 13 and 14. But then he prays an imprecatory prayer, and he says, let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, he says, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. So what he's saying, he's been praying against these guys, and what the Lord did is he just let them go on. I mean, in other words, if you're committing adultery, which you absolutely know is wrong, and God hasn't executed a sentence against that evil work in your life, you're thinking, well, praise the Lord, I can get away with this, and it's okay. You're not getting away with anything. As a matter of fact, you're in worse shape than anybody else you know that's committing the same sin. And the reason is the Lord's not doing anything to change the situation. He is just letting you run on with what you're doing. And so you don't have any fear of God. And I'm telling you what, one of these days, he is going to bring you down into the pit of destruction. The Bible says in Psalm 55:23, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. David says, but I'll trust in thee. So life changes are good. You want God to interrupt your plans when your plans involve sin. And when your plans involve wickedness, you want God to bring a chastening hand. You want him to bring a change. You want him to thwart your plans. I mean, you may not desire him to do that, but after he's done it, you're going to be glad he did, because it gives you a chance to fear God, get wisdom, and straighten up. Boy, if he's just leaving you to yourself, he's just crossed his hands and let you have your own way, you're in terrible, tragic shape. That's right, because God's going to shut the door on this deal one of these days, and when he does, it's going to bring you way down. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall be destroyed suddenly, and that without remedy. That's your lot. So you want to see God put a hand up and stop you by life changes, by reversals in your life. Those should be expected. You want God to do that. All right, now there's some other expected changes. Another one, not only life changes, but you will see image changes. Image changes. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look with me in verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Verse 17 says, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then verse 18 says, but we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there should be image changes in your life. You were born in the image of Adam. And then when you were born again, if you are born again, you found out that you were predestined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 8:29. So from the day we're born again, the Holy Spirit goes to work in us to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as this process takes place over time, it becomes more and more evident to others that we are God's children. I mean, like our change, like our likeness changes from that of Adam to that of the Lord. Now, without the Bible, without preaching, without praying, without teaching, and so forth, very little in your likeness is going to change. However, with good Bible reading, with good Bible studying, with good Bible preaching, with good Bible teaching, and with obedience to the words of God, your likeness is going to definitely change. It's going to dramatically change. I mean, after all, we are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So your image is going to change. I mean, you know, if you see me today and you compare what you see today with what you would have seen in my 20s, you're looking at two completely different people. They're not even remotely the same. Same look, of course, and so forth, except just older, a little less hair, a little more gray, that kind of stuff, a few more wrinkles, all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. I mean, you could recognize some physical features, but I'm talking about an image change where there's so much different in the life now as a result of the work of the Spirit of God and the Word of God than what you saw so many years ago. And that's a good thing. And you should expect that. You should expect life changes. You should expect image changes. All right, now let me show you something else. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. And here you're going to see facial changes. You should expect facial changes. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let's look in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1 together, and you'll see it. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. There's that word again. You should expect facial changes. In other words, when the Holy Spirit and wisdom enter into your heart, they change your face. I know you just got to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. It's already time to leave that passage, but you need to see a couple of good examples of this. Turn to Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. Now, this is Moses, and he is coming down from the mountain after being with God the second time. You know, he spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting with the Lord. The first time, he went back up there and did it all over again. When he came down the second time, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. So his face changed. It was shining just like Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1 said it would. A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. All right, well, there's another example in the New Testament in Acts chapter 6, verse 15. This is the last verse of Acts chapter 6, and it concerns a man named Stephen, you know, the fellow that was stoned, Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 and verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Oh, that's a change. They're not looking at the face of a man. They're looking, although when angels appear, they appear as men, but the Bible says they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. In other words, something characteristic of angels that happened to Stephen when he began to preach this sermon with boldness, with boldness. And when we read that passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1, there was a comment regarding boldness. The Bible says, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Now, what is this? Well, something happens when you are filled with the Spirit, when you are filled with his wisdom, when you are bold in the Lord. There's something that happens, a supernatural thing that causes your face to change. We have a missionary who is a missionary to Thailand and Mongolia. He's been there for decades, and he's worked among the lepers, and he's worked among children. He's just got a fabulous, fabulous work. When he came to one of our missions conferences several years ago and presented his ministry in Thailand and in Mongolia, one of our fellows commented after he had made his presentation that you could see the boldness of his face change. He said this. He said his face had light. And he said, I wasn't talking about the light that comes down from the ceiling and shines on people that are standing. behind the pulpit or up there on the platform. Not talking about that kind of light. There was some sort of a supernatural change, some sort of a supernatural light in his eye that just, it was something that came as a result of the work of God in his life. Well, you should expect that. And you say, well, I don't ever see that. I don't see that much. And I would submit to you that because the reason you don't see that much today is that you have a lot of people talking about the Spirit of God who are not filled with the Spirit of God at all. They've gotten tied up in a charismatic Pentecostal type movement that is of the flesh or of the devil or of some evil spirit. And so you don't see it in them because you don't see the true work of the Spirit of God. And the other reason you don't see it is that people are not in their Bibles. I remember, I've never been to an iridologist. That's the person that checks the iris in your eye. I've never been to one. And I don't really have any plans to go to one, for that matter. But I have friends that have been to them before. And because the Bible says that the light of the body is the eye. And so they go and they're diagnosed based upon what's seen in the eye. And this iridologist said, you know, I can really tell when I look in a man's eye, I can really tell who's been in that Bible and who hasn't. He says it's just an evident change in the man's eye. Well, there's something to it then. Facial changes. All right, you should expect not only life changes, which are usually reversals that stop you from doing something wicked, and image changes, which are the natural work of the Spirit of God with the Word of God to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and facial changes, where your face has a supernatural light in it from the work of wisdom in your life. But you should also expect physical changes, and those are ones that are yet to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is all about the resurrection, and our part in the resurrection has to do with what we typically call the rapture. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52, the other verses there in the context, you know, 49, 50, all the way down to 55, lend a good context to what you're going to read here. But it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is, this mortal must put on immortality. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 says that Jesus Christ is going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Even Job, imagine this, the first book ever written in the Bible. It's not the first in chronology where it appears in the Bible. You know, Genesis is the first one in the chronology, but in order of those that were authored and penned, this is the first book of the Bible that was ever written. It was written pretty long time before Moses began to write the first five books of the Bible. And in Job chapter 14, verse 14, Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait, watch it, till my change come. He knew that he was going to change. He even spoke more about it in Job chapter 19. He says in verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin, verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. That is a tremendous revelation, because Job knew that he would end up with a body that would be incorruptible, that would stand before the Lord, and he'd see him face to face. So our bodies will change into glorified bodies at the rapture. And we need to thank God for this change, because for the first time in our lives, we will have sinless bodies. And they'll be perfect in every capacity. And we will never die. In other words, if our bodies are changed before our death at the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll never die. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, what happens is that Martha comes to Jesus Christ because in a way, she's making a mild complaint about the fact that he didn't come to raise Lazarus from the dead, and said, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, watch it, shall never die. Believest thou this? And I believe that. I know it to be so. So there are some expected changes, and you should expect physical changes at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you something else. You should expect ordinance changes. Ordinance changes. Look in Daniel chapter 3, and you'll see why we worded this point that way. Daniel chapter 3, look at verse 28. Now this is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and about Nebuchadnezzar, who erected an image and told everybody, you're going to bow down and worship this thing, and they wouldn't do it. So in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, why would he do that? Well, what happened is he threw them in a furnace of fire, and nothing happened to them. There was not even smell of fire. Their hair was not even singed. They didn't even have to change their coats. There was no smell in them. So Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, watch it, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. So what's going to happen undoubtedly should the Lord tarry? Ordinance changes and law changes are coming. We know that. And we've already seen many. But right now, Bible-believing Christians can and should still abide by the laws of men. That's Romans chapter 13. In other words, there aren't any ordinances to speak of that you have to disobey, you know, today in order to be able to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty in this country. However, we may have to stand against some laws of the future in the same way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. In other words, if we are told that we must do something that is an absolute violation, in other words, you have an opportunity to do things that violate the law of God, but you don't have to do those things. And so that's why I say you can keep the laws of the land without compromising your stand on the Word of God. However, if there's a law that's passed, for instance, that says you can no longer preach in the name of Jesus Christ, well, then we're going to have to respond the way that Peter and the other apostles did in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the other apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse 29 answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now, if there's a conflict like there was with Shiphrah and Puah, they were the midwives back in the days of Pharaoh when the babies were supposed to be killed at birth, and they didn't do it. They disobeyed that law. Why? Because it was absolutely contrary to the command of God. And if we ever have a law that is an absolute command against the law of God, then we're going to have to keep the law of God and change the ordinance and our following of it. Now, there's one other change that we want to look at, and that's in Psalm 102, verse 25. Psalm 102, verse 25, and this is the cosmological change. It doesn't have a personal effect on us like these others do. It has an effect on the entire universe, cosmological changes or stellar changes or whatever you want to call them. Psalm 102, verse 25 and 26. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Now, one of these days, the Lord is suddenly going to change the heavens like a man changes his clothes. I mean, the teaching that the galaxies, stars, suns, and planets have been there for billions of years and that they're going to just keep on evolving is a hoax. They're going to wax old like a garment. Scientists can observe that kind of activity right now, and of course they're really going to wax old during the tribulation. And then the Lord who put them there, the Bible says they were the work of thy hands, is going to change them just like that. And the cosmological change will be, they're all going to look up, they go, whoa, how'd that happen? It happened by the same way that he put them up there the first time. Anyway, so let's bring all of this expected change to a conclusion. Though we're not to change our convictions, our standards, and our doctrine under pressure from others and from the world, and though we're not to change our testimony when we're called to our own defense, and though we're not to be given to change like the rest of the world around us, we are to expect change in our lives. Where God stands against us and kind of runs a reversal to get us back in the fear of God, we are to expect change in our images as we are conformed by the Spirit of God to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to expect changes to our faces as this divine work of wisdom and boldness come out on our countenance. And eventually we are to expect change in our bodies where we get glorified bodies that live forever. And frankly, I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to mine. It's one of the best news you can ever give somebody whenever they're suffering from an illness that's going to be terminal. Furthermore, before the Lord returns, we may have to change our obedience to certain ordinances of man that are clearly contrary to the commands of God. And then in time, God will even change the universe and basically start all over again with a universe in which there is no more sin, no more suffering, and no more death. And praise the Lord for these expected changes. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.